Welcome back to the Event Transformation Podcast, where I speak with event industry experts who are making change in the sports, festivals, and events industry. Today, I'm joined by Adam Leslie, who's the General Manager of Events at 212F. We're going to be talking about event sustainability and the 212F Coru Green Program. Hello and welcome back to the Event Transformation Podcast. I am absolutely delighted today to be joined by Adam Leslie from 212F. Adam, welcome to the podcast. If we could start with you telling us a little bit about your background and your role at 212F.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me, Chris. Great to come on board. My background and events started 21 years ago, so been around for a wee while. And I've been with 212F for 3 years, ironically, the whole way through COVID, which has been an interesting journey for sure. But yeah, always in corporate events and traditionally more so on the incentive side and really more in the outbound, I guess, incentive market. We do domestic incentives, but traditionally it's kind of the outbound. So now that obviously borders are open, we're fully into it again, which is fantastic.
Was that a period of time through the last 3 years where you couldn't really do what you'd been hired to do in the first place?
Look, it's been interesting. And I think that it's certainly been the most challenging 3 years I've ever had in that kind of 2 decades of doing what I do. But every year was different for different reasons. And I think really the first year was kind of the cancellation year. And there was a lot of work involved with navigating our clients through that process and obviously trying to minimize the financial risk that they had with their events at the time. And then the second year really was the postponement year. So with Auckland being in and out of lockdowns, the amount of times that we were, on average, all my events postponed 3 times. And I think I had one that postponed about, I think it was 6 in the end. So that whole year was just taken up with booking events, then having to rebook them. And again, a lot of it came down to the risk mitigation. And I talk mostly about financial risks because the health risks, obviously nobody runs any events where there's ever any health risk to their attendees. So it was just how do we get through that in a way that we're actually still able to run events and at really no risk to anybody, either with suppliers or clients or ourselves. And then of course now we're the new challenge is that everyone now wants to do events, they can, and yet we've still got challenges with staffing, with suppliers, particularly airline schedules, cost increases, inflation. But on the flip side, the positive is that our clients are rearing to go and they've had 2 years where they haven't been able to spend their money on events. So we're actually now in a position where we're kind of inundated with inquiry. So it's kind of gone from bust, boom to bust, back to boom again, you know, in that 3 year period, which has been really interesting. Really interesting.
Yeah, fantastic. I certainly feel like everyone's busier now than ever.
Yeah.
So your role at 212F is the general manager for events. And I know that you travel quite a bit. What's the sort of structure like with what you do and what's your role entail? Are you offshore quite a bit in New Zealand quite a bit? What's the mix for you?
Yeah, well, I've got 12 international trips this year, and I've already done 6 of those. So it's working out to be 1 a month. Of those, 9 of them are actual events. So the other 3 are pretty much work-related with trade shows or even our own work activity, because we have an office in Melbourne and Sydney. So yeah, so it's definitely busy. And my role here, obviously, is to grow the business. You know, during COVID, there was no business in a lot of ways. So it's been a real exponential growth curve in the 3 years that I've been here. We've just employed a new staff member and we're probably definitely looking at employing somebody else in the next 6 months as well, just because the growth we're seeing is off the charts really. So like I said before, clients are definitely willing to travel. I think the reality is that this time next year, the world will have settled a bit, certainly in that travel space where schedules will be back 100%. Staffing levels will be up with those airlines, costs will come down, capacities will increase. So it's really just getting through this year, I think, where there is still some big challenges around getting our groups to a destination, and more so on the travel side of it. But we're getting there, and it's really positive. So it's just really busy, really, really busy. So it's a good problem to have, but it's still a problem, to be fair.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we could talk probably about any part of the events industry for hours. And to kind of bring us to the topic that we wanted to talk about today, I saw you guys launch this program, I think it was the end of last year, and it looked absolutely fascinating. But 212F launched a program called the Coru Green Program. Tell me what that is.
So what it is effectively is our gift in a lot of ways to our clients to ensure that their events 100% carbon neutral. So this was actually a project that we started, well, really in year one of COVID. It was the brainchild of our managing director. At the time, and just before COVID, you know, sustainability was probably the buzzword of all things that we were talking about, sustainability and being environmentally friendly and all those kinds of things with packaging and cutlery and all sorts was such a key word. So we've developed this kind of during that COVID period as a side project, and it's been a project that actually the entire 212F team has been involved in from across our three different offices, both Australia and New Zealand. All the staff have had an input into its design and its intent. So what we decided to do is we would really tackle it from an event perspective first, and then we would look at how we transition that across the wider business, because we also run loyalty programs and we do our own kind of prepaid Visa card. So we've got a couple other products that we also do, but the events seem to be the one that we could kind of tackle first and foremost. And what we've done really is we've created, we believe, an industry first across certainly Australia, New Zealand. We couldn't find something similar maybe in the world. And it's effectively a greenhouse gas carbon calculator. So we can take every event and kind of break it down into some of the core elements, such as flights, accommodation, dinners, activities, what have you. And we can apply the spend of those elements into, and we can put it into this calculator. And it really works out what the tonnage usage of those elements for each group. And it's based on destination, it's based on numbers of people, it's based on whether we're using coaches or if we're using cruisers or anything like that. And it's a calculator that, like I say, has been developed with some of the leading sustainability experts in the world. And we believe we've got the first one. And once we've done that and we can work out what is the carbon footprint of that event, then 212F is committing to offsetting that at zero cost to our clients. So it's a financial cost that we are owning ourselves that we can then guarantee to our clients that their event is going to be 100% carbon neutral, which we think is a fantastic initiative. We're not just kind of saying to our clients, like, here's ways that you can make your own event carbon neutral, which is probably where a lot of our competitors sit. It's more the advice side of things, which in itself is also a good thing. But we are wanting to own this as a business and say, look, we want to take on that ourselves. And this actually just comes out of our margin. So it's a huge, huge thing. We're very passionate about it. We then create an event emissions report, which basically then details the tonnage per event. And this is what we've taken on board as a financial cost to offset their event for themselves. So for them, it's very good for the end of year reporting, AGMs and all those kinds of things. And we think it's just the partnership approach that we've got with our clients. So something we're giving back to the environment, something we're giving back to the industry. We're very, very proud of it. And we know that it's probably the first of its kind. So far, we've offset roughly 1,500 tonnes of carbon. And that was just backdated to July last year to this financial year that's just concluded. Approximately about $18,000 worth of cost to us as a business to do that. So yeah, it's a great initiative. Like I say, we're very proud of it, notwithstanding the fact that we still want our clients. They've often got their own sustainability plans in place in their own businesses, and this really just aligns quite nicely with those at the same time.
So when you started by saying it's a gift, it genuinely is. It's something that you're absorbing the cost of, which is a fantastic initiative. I've got so many questions off the back of that introduction. I think the first one probably for me comes down to, in terms of the brainchild of your MD and developing something in-house rather than outsourcing it or using a third party, how did that come about? Did you do research into what was available and conclude that nothing met your needs, or nothing met your business needs or the event's needs? And therefore, how did you then find the right advice and the right specialists to help you?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. So casting the net, seeing what was out there, and there really wasn't a product like this out there, in the sense that a lot of the sustainability practices that are out there are more advice driven. So this is how you can minimize your package waste, or this is how you can minimize your travel carbon footprint by offsetting it through the airlines and what have you. So they're more kind of almost the brokering kind of service, where you employ them to kind of take a look at your business and how you can actually do better by the environment. Now, we're still going to do that, to be honest. So that's another element to this program, is to make sure that we're also, as a business, we're ourselves sustainable, not just the events that we're doing. So they're kind of more organizational led, where the sustainability offering is more advice driven around how you can be a more sustainable business, but not from an event perspective. And so it's quite a big problem to tackle. How do we make this event sustainable? And honestly, we do think we've come up with the answer to that. Like I say, it took 18 months to work through that process, using a couple of, like I say, kind of leading people within the industry, because we didn't know before we started. So we needed that advice ourselves, but we needed to be able to adapt it to something that we wanted to do that was particularly customized for 212F and our clients. But the emphasis was always on, this is what we're going to do to offset this ourselves. There was never, ever going to be a cost to our clients. It was a commitment that Rob, AMD, made right from the get-go, that this was actually going to be a 212F initiative that wasn't going to cost our clients anymore.
Mm. You were talking about the other things as well. So, really curious to find out how much of what you do is looking at reducing the carbon footprint as well as offsetting, and how do the two pieces work together with how you design and execute your events and how the program fits in?
Yeah, and I think the key with that one is that, look, just because we can then turn around to a client and say, look, your event's going to be 100% sustainable, doesn't mean that we care any less about what we're doing within that program. So there's definitely now, there's hotels that have got their own kind of their own sustainability initiatives. Airlines are doing much more. We really want to start aligning ourselves with partners that are minimizing their own footprint. I mean, where we can, I mean, I've got a program in New York next year. We've started trying to find electric transfer companies. Very difficult to find, to be honest. And so I think that's going to be a long-term plan, is to constantly be asking those questions around, what are you doing as a supplier around your own sustainability? And that's just going to become more and more prevalent as we move forward with this. So we don't want to make excuses to suppliers and just say, just because our event's 100% sustainable, then we can burn as much fossil fuel as we like because we'll offset it and it doesn't matter. That's just not the case at all. So, But I think, look, the reality is that the world is changing and that people are so much more conscious of their own footprint, but there are some things that you actually just cannot offset or you cannot work around. I mean, flights are flights. You're still going to burn fuel. Hopefully, eventually that could be hydrogen, but you still need to burn fuel to get the food to the airplane or to get staff to the flight, all that kind of thing. So it's definitely a long-term plan, I guess, but hopefully by starting off this way, we are demonstrating that we're doing our bit, and also that we are trying to do what we can within our own industry.
Mm. I think that's a few of those themes that you've picked up in terms of 2019. The curve was really starting, both in terms of events themselves, but consumers in your case, I guess your clients, and the expectations are changing. So being able to see that across the board, I think, is really important. The people that you engaged to help you with this, I think, was Green Shoot specific? Were there other people involved in developing it? The reason I ask that is I think sustainability is such a large topic, it really warrants getting expert advice. And it's a difference between someone who's passionate about it and someone who's knowledgeable and passionate about it. So yeah. Greenshoot, I know Megan there, who else was involved with that project?
Yeah, she is a leading expert in it. We had to do a 6-week course, I think, as well, like all the staff, and it was modular. So we could do a module a week. And that went through everything. It was probably too detailed in a lot of ways because it went down to the molecular level of when you're running a conference, are you looking at, are they using plastic forks and where's everything coming from? You just, it's impossible to do that when you're running international events. But certainly it was definitely a partnership. We didn't have any expertise in this field. And I don't think they did either in the event space. It was quite a unique proposition for them. I wouldn't say it's perfect because there are elements of any event that what we do is we take the worst case scenario calculation. So it could be, for example, for theming, how do you calculate what is the carbon footprint of centerpieces and things like that? So there's certainly some things that we kind of have to lump together, but we do a worst case scenario calculation so that we know that we're actually, and even we're probably doubling that as a worst case scenario, so that we know that even though we can't accurately calculate it, we're making enough of an allowance within what we're hoping to offset to balance that out. The other thing is we're partnering with the United Nations with their sustainable program so that the carbon credits will go to a very legitimate cause. During our conference in Australia, which was only a couple of weeks ago, they picked, I think it was 4 different projects the United Nations were running from a sustainability perspective, and it was up to the staff to choose how that was going to get split up. So we also kind of fed that back to the team and said, look, these are all being certified and as sustainable activities across, they were across Sri Lanka, India, and a couple other different countries, Bangladesh, I think. So even still, as a staff group, we were able to make decisions around the best need or that we felt was the best need. So
that it's through the United Nations program that you're identifying where your offset's going to happen?
Yeah, initially, and it's the United Nations Carbon Offset Program, and that was our initial thought because we wanted it to be legitimised across an international organisation. I think the recent thinking is that probably at some time in the near future, we're going to start looking at projects that are a little bit more local. So we will start wanting to support projects in New Zealand for our office here in Auckland and then in Australia. You know, we've got an office in Sydney, Melbourne. So wanting to then localise that benefit to, you know, it could be Australia, New Zealand or the Pacific, for example. So we're adaptable and flexible and it'll just be dependent on what we think as an organisation is the best use of that.
I think it's really good that you're engaging the staff in the decision-making process there and essentially giving everybody ownership of the programme and getting that buy-in. I wonder the training you were talking about, whether it was the Institute for Sustainable Events training programmes.
That's great. Exactly.
Yeah, I think that point that you made there around we didn't know what we were doing, so across the entire business we've upskilled and we've gone to a place which is legitimate in terms of the Institute for Sustainable Events, and they've got some great training programs there, and we've put everybody through that. And even if it goes down to that molecular level of detail, which might be too much for some people, everybody's got the same basis and everyone's got the same grounding, which I think is a really important step because it's a really complex topic.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is from a client point of view, it really demonstrates to our clients that we're doing our bit. Like it's not just about them be seen to be doing their bit for their events. This is actually us as an event company doing our bit. And what's interesting to me is that trends change, obviously, and this was a trend actually that was very prevalent just before COVID. And I think now the shift it's changed again. And I think now the priority is on re-engagement with people. We've been shut away for 2 or 3 years. So sustainability in some ways is kind of now a little bit in the past. It's still very, very important. And what they want is to see that we are still doing our bit as much as they are from a sustainability point of view, but really their priorities now have shifted into re-engaging with their clients and their groups, which is why we're seeing this huge big upsurge in the international incentives again. But what they do love is that as a partner, as a supplier to them, that they can see that we are taking ownership of our own sustainability responsibility. And we're not just giving them advice on what they should be doing with their events. We're actually partnering with them because it is a partnership. We talk a lot with our clients about we want to be a partner, not just a provider. So that's how they see it. And whereas we know that in the industry, it's not really like that. It's more, this is how you can make your event more sustainable if you do this and if you do that. We're just saying to them, we're a partnership, we're doing our bit, you're obviously doing your bit internally. And by doing both, then we're going to have the best possible outcome for everybody, including the environment, which is what it's for.
And what's the response been so far? Obviously, this is something which you're using as part of your sales process, but also with existing clients. And you mentioned some results. So who is it? The pickup been as you'd expect?
It's been interesting. Like you would think, again, I think just because of COVID, it's really just changed everyone's mindset. If we'd come out with this, COVID had never happened, and we'd come out with this and everyone would have gone, that's amazing, because at the time it really was the buzzword. But people's priorities have shifted. And so I think the response really within our existing clients has been, that's awesome, we love what you're doing, we still obviously will continue to partner with you, and this supports our mission for our sustainability planning. The fact that we are partnering with you adds to that, you know, adds to that general outcome. With new clients, however, I think it really gives us an edge, because when it comes to that kind of tender environment where potentially we might be neck and neck with one of our competitors, that may be the difference that we can then say, we will offset your event 100%. It will be 100% sustainable. And for those organisations that is actually a key driver for them, then absolutely we will have an edge. Whereas with our existing customers, that's great, guys, but we kind of expect you to do that as a business now anyway. So it's become more of everyone should take responsibility for their own. And even though technically it's their event, because we are partnering with them on it, there is that expectation now that you're doing your bit as much as we're doing our bit. So like I say, I think COVID kind of shifted the goalposts a little bit. We were still very much engaged in this project, and that we're adamant this is what we wanted to do. We're still very proud of it. And yeah, I think for our clients, it's also a great thing. Like I said before, they can add it to their end of year reporting, and they can continue to see us as a strategic partner from a number of different levels, not just from events, but also for sustainability at the same time. So yeah, we found it really interesting. It's not as key or as integral, I think, to a lot of businesses as it was a couple of years ago. Just things have just changed, obviously, with COVID on a number of different levels. So priorities have shifted, but it's still super important.
Yeah, absolutely. Is it something that you think at some point in the future you may open up to third parties as well, as that aren't necessarily your clients as you currently see them, but potentially a service to other people within the industry?
To help them become, to offset their events?
Yeah.
Potentially. I mean, it's an interesting thought. I mean, I don't see any reason why not. I think it's more one of those things that I think over time, if people really want to do it, create their own calculators, they will. We're probably first cab off the rank, and there may be companies now that are looking at doing it themselves. I don't see why not. I think for us, it would probably be more at a community level if we were going to look at doing something like that. So assisting maybe community events, ensuring they become, so again, kind of maybe trying to give back to those organisations that don't have the resources that potentially other corporates would do. We do feel it's, everyone's doing their bit in some way, even if they're offering advice to their clients around how to make their, that's still doing something. But we kind of want to leave those people in that space. We're just going to forge ahead with ours, and we've already done it. So we're actively engaging with clients now on their sustainability reporting and all that kind of thing. So yeah, I can definitely see it within a community level. Probably not a discussion we've actually had, to be honest, from the wider scope.
That's all good. And I didn't warn you I was going to ask you that question in advance. I just popped into my head in terms of, you know, partly the altruistic part I get with the community events. But if people are looking for a similar thing, you know, potentially there's a paid for service as well.
Yeah. I mean, look, we're not making money off it. Obviously, it's costing us money. And that's a deliberate burden that our business is prepared to wear. So in that sense, it's not something that we're looking to make money off at all. If we were going to do it, like I say, that's probably where that community angle might slot in quite nicely. Like it's just the way that we can give back. I mean, it would still be a cost to them to offset it. But as far as our calculator goes, then it's pretty easy to do. Like, it's not that difficult to crunch some numbers and come out with a figure and then say, this is what you need to do, and then feed that back into the same carbon offset program that potentially we're doing. So, I mean, I think it's a great idea, but yeah, that's probably where I see the benefit longer term.
No, that's good. That's just kind of coming back to the philosophical purpose behind it in the first place. And
yeah, very much so. And like I say, like Rob was determined that this was not going to be, this is not a profit generator for us. This is actually us genuinely trying to do our bit for the environment and obviously provide just a little bit of extra value for our clients at the same time. So it's not a moneymaker by any stretch. It's the exact opposite. But we want to do that. We want to do our bit.
No, that's just great. On your website, you kind of introduced the Coro Green program as your first step towards being net zero by 2030. It seems like the first step's quite a considerable leap, actually. What else do you think you have to do in the next 7 years to achieve that goal?
Yeah, and I think the next 7 years, I think we'll easily get there before then. But I think, like I say, we've got other products that we need to really think carefully how we can model what we've done within the event space across these other products. And in addition, as a business, we want to be, you know, environmentally responsible ourselves with our own recycling and reducing and reusing and all those kinds of things. So we've definitely got work to do in that space. We're no different to any other company when it comes to that. I mean, I see you've got, you know, even plants in your office where we're growing plants in our office. You know, I mean, it's a little thing to do, but they all add up. We know that there's definitely more that we can do. We're looking at how we look at printing paper, and like everyone is. So this was really just more of an industry model that we can then say, okay, now we've got this, we think we've cracked it, and how do we now apply this across the other aspects of the business? So, but I think the 7 years is, I think we can easily crack it well before then. Now that we know that this is up and running and it's working, it shouldn't be too difficult to do the others. We very much, it was a real team project, this thing. Like I said, it was 18 months, but, you know, we split the group into different project teams. You know, it was a volunteer thing. So, you know, a lot of people put their hands up across the business who weren't even in events because they really had a passion for the environment and sustainability. So it was really neat to just get input from, you know, people from across the business, across the Tasman, and across a multitude of different, you know, our accountants getting involved in it. How does this work? It just gave everyone some input into it. And that's pretty much the approach that we'll take for the other aspects of it as well.
That's absolutely fantastic. Actually, my plants behind me are to actually offset the whiskey consumption that goes with them. But I think that common purpose that you've created through your team and using it as an engagement piece, I think the fact that the way that you've gone about rolling it out in terms of engaging everyone, getting everyone's feedback, that's such a powerful approach, rather than you and the MD say, right, we've created this thing, now go off and do it. Mm. It's really organizational change management 101 right there that you're talking about in terms of engagement of staff and training and continuing to keep it as a live topic of conversation that feeds through everything that you do. And when I read your net zero by 2030, I thought, oh, they've given themselves quite a long time, despite the fact that they've made such a huge step forward. Which, so I suppose in a way it's good to know that, you know, the events probably will get there first. And from an event industry lover myself, that's really exciting that the events part of the business is leading the way, which is really, really cool.
And to look, to be fair, like I say, it did take 18 months to get there. So I can't guarantee that we'll get to the 2030 target earlier than that. I suspect that we will. But yeah, that project approach with the team was, you know, even with our recent company conference, you know, we hadn't had one for 4 years. So it was really neat that at the very end of it, whilst we were still summarizing, you know, where we were at as a business from a financial perspective, is also where we were at from a sustainability perspective, and to be able to throw up those results to everybody and then get them to vote on how we're going to offset that money that we put aside for these carbon credits, if you like, as a team still, even 2 years later, was able to, and all of this happened, this was all virtual. So this was the first time as a team that we were able to get together and actually talk about it. And the success of it has been really, really awesome. And the team feel very passionate about it. But they can actually then see the progress of it at the same time. So us rolling this out across the other products, I mean, it's definitely going to have their own challenges, loyalty programs. How do we make that work across the loyalty program or with the credit card side of the business as well? I mean, they have very unique challenges just on their own. We've got reward stores with thousands of products on them. So another different challenge, but one that we will take on based on the learnings from this one. But yeah, like you say, I mean, what I'm proud of is that we've fast-tracked quite a few steps, I think, in the event sustainability space, where it was more so advice given to clients and then in a lot of ways probably up to them what they did with their events. We've bypassed probably two or three steps to that and actually just said to them, we're coming in right at the end and we're going to take all this hassle away from you, but we're still going to talk to you about how can we still minimize that again. So whilst we've made it easy for you, we're saying, yep, 100%, you don't have to worry about it, we're still going to focus on actually what we can do because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. I have a really kind of deep question here, which may be too broad. Where would you suggest or recommend or advise people start if they're right at the beginning of their sustainability journey and they don't have that knowledge, but they know they want to do something?
That's a really, really good question. I think the first part of it is just having a desire to want to change or to make change. I think that's the most important thing. I mean, without Rob, you know, this was going to be a project of his that he was absolutely passionate about. We all knew that from the get-go. He made some pretty bold goals right at the start to say, we're going to do this and we're going to do it at our own cost. You know, at the time I was like, wow, that's... we don't even know how much this is going to cost us. So we might not make any money. So, you know, he had some BHAGs there when it came to sustainability, but he was so passionate about it. But what he did do, which I think was really awesome, was he didn't just say, I'm the MD, I'm going to do this, and, you know, we're going to kind of make you come along this journey. This was about, look, this is something I want us to do as a business. I actually don't have all the answers. I don't know how we're going to do it, but let's form some working groups. Let's kind of determine as a business what are our priorities. And I guess reasonably quickly came to the point where the events was probably going to be the easiest one to look at, even though they're all very complicated. So it's definitely been that kind of team approach. And so my advice would really be to have purpose, to actually really believe that you can make a difference and that you then want to make a difference. And obviously have a goal. I mean, these are all pretty straightforward kind of goal-driven things, really. You have a goal and then you have a plan and all those kinds of things. But sustainability can be a little wishy-washy. We always want to, it's a feel-good type of thing. It's like community projects. A lot of people say, oh, yeah, we'll do this. But do you really? Do you really give back to the community? Are you really sustainable? Like, it's one thing to say you want to do it, but it's another thing to say that you are doing it. So I think having that purpose and having that desire to just do some good, it doesn't have to be massive. You can start small and work your way up. But I think having maybe some short-term goals and a long-term goal, like, do you want to be the first at what you do in your industry to be sustainable could be one of your goals. Or, oh, there's just so many things you can do. Mm. And you don't have to, they don't all have to be massive. They can just be, because anything you do is going to help. Mm. Any small change that you make to help the environment will help the environment in whatever shape or form that ends up being. But certainly we had to go out and get advice. We were just not experts on this whatsoever. So we got that advice. We collaborated internally as a team. And that was critical, I think, to getting everybody's buy-in to it. And in a lot of ways, we kind of left our clients out of it completely because we knew that it was going to benefit them, but it was something that we were very passionate about. So it's such a broad mindset when it comes to sustainability, but every single company did something. The benefits are massive, really.
You've raised three really, really valuable points there. The first being set intent and the goals and the projects around that, but firstly, you know, state we're going to do something. The second being get advice and support for those areas that you don't understand, and whether that's external training or just going and learning, whether that's through the UN stuff that you were talking about or the Institute for Sustainable Events or attending industry knowledge-based conferences or listening to great podcasts about it, like this one. And the third being, just do something. And I think this is where a lot of people get tripped up because they're worried that they'll get judged on what they're not doing rather than what they are doing. And I've been there as well with events that I've worked on in the past. And you think you're doing some good stuff, and then someone will pick up on some error you've made or why aren't you doing this? And it derails the whole emotional connection piece to it. I regularly talk about when with Auckland Marathon, which is an event I used to organize, there was some cable ties found when we were bumping out from that event. And there was a media story about cable ties and all that sort of stuff. We'd actually reduced our cable tie usage by about 95%. By introducing reusable bungee cords, and then you just get fixated on this, or this is the thing that didn't go right. And I think it's taking away that fear and being really conscious of, right, we're going to do these things. We know it's not the full story, and we know we're not fixing everything, but we're going to do something, and that's how we're committed. I think that's really the biggest piece of advice that I'd give people is just be confident that you're doing something.
I think a lot of it as well, it's that hand on heart mindset. You know, we, and actually I haven't been challenged by anybody on our calculator, not that we're ever going to show anyone our calculator. So a lot of it is look, you stake your, in this industry that we're in, the events industry, you stake everything on your own personal reputation. So if I can hand on heart say we believe the best that can be for now, look, it's not perfect. I'm sure that we'll tweak it as time goes on, and we'll find ways to actually refine some of those calculations better, then that's what we'll do. But for now, hand on heart, I still believe it's the best program in our industry in New Zealand and Australia. And quite honestly, I mean, we couldn't find anything globally that was even close to it. Now, there may be. But for what we do and for what we are trying to achieve, then we hand on heart say this is the best that can be. And like in your example with the cable ties, hand on heart, you were doing everything you could to minimize your waste and your impact on the environment. But you'll still hand on heart say, I'm still very proud of the fact that we got rid of 95% of our cable ties. And so we know ourselves we've made a difference. If other people disagree with that, that's their business. And I think if everyone has that mindset and just say, look, even if it's just one little thing that we're doing, then hand on heart, you are starting to make a difference. Some of these things cost money, and this is costing us money. And some people don't have those budgets to do that. But there is ultimately, by some of it, you can actually save money. Obviously, in the cable tie scenario, you're reusing stuff. So you're probably saving money in that sense. In a lot of ways with reusing and recycling, I mean, that's obviously saving money. But I just come back to the fact that if you can hand on heart say you are trying to do your bit, that's really all you need to make a difference.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And the more people that are doing a bit, collectively, we're doing a lot. And that's such an important thing to remember as well. I'd be really interested over time to see how infrastructure around events changes to support some of these requirements as well. And there's been and legislation changes, I think, will be really important too. But if we wait for legislation, we're waiting for the wrong thing. You know, you want to be drawn by the carrot, not the stick, in a lot of cases.
You know, events isn't, I keep fighting for events to be recognized as its own industry, but we canvass tourism and hospitality and travel. We kind of canvass a number of different industries, but we kind of get lumped on tourism. So we kind of get lumped into a number of different industries. But actually what we're doing is we're, you know, I liken what we do to being like a conductor in an orchestra. You know, we're actually just, you know, really trying to fine tune the best parts of that orchestra to get the best tune. But we're the ones directing that. And so we are taking elements of hospitality with our accommodation and travel with airlines and tourism with activities and all those bits and pieces. But to be recognised as our own industry is very, very difficult because we're just not seen in that way. And the other thing for me is that, you know, often the outbound events, if you call it the outbound events industry, is not necessarily seen to be part of the New Zealand industry, because what we do is we take in events outside of New Zealand, which I think is a real shame, because there's two reasons for that. One, often they're sales-driven campaigns that these incentives are designed to generate lift in sales, and they're doing that in New Zealand. So every time we run a successful incentive, it means that people have grown their sales in order to attend that event, which has a massive impact on this economy and possibly one that's not measurable. But all of that is done in New Zealand in order for them to go on this amazing trip overseas. Two, that we can potentially learn a lot from what people like myself do when we take our events to a different destination. What are we looking for in that destination? And we should be reversing that and looking at how can we attract, you know, my counterparts overseas to New Zealand in a way that's going to excite them, in a way to want them to come here as opposed to Australia. So we need a voice in a lot of ways. And if this is kind of our bit to enable our industry to be recognised as its own industry, as small as it is, we're a very small, powerful, highly professional, high-achieving industry. But I'm on this continual battle to try and get us recognised as our own separate industry. That's my goal, hopefully, over time. We'll see. 21 years, I'm still fighting it. Probably another 20 years, I'll have retired.
I fully agree with your points there, and the team that you're building is contributing as well. The capability of quote unquote our events industry, you guys are part of it. It's a different outcome in terms of where people are experiencing the event, but the capability still lives within your team.
We probably still run 20-30% of our events in New Zealand. So we're still contributing. I guess we're, as incentive providers, you're not often recognised as somebody that's doing 100% of events in New Zealand, for example. But I just think that most events are sales driven. So if they're conferences, it's about upskilling people typically. If they're incentives, it's about driving sales and selling more. So In a lot of ways, events in the corporate space are there around generating more revenue for those businesses. And all of them are in New Zealand. Whether you're taking a group away, it's still being driving sales within New Zealand. So I think we've often got to just step back a bit and say, why are we doing it? As opposed to where are we doing it? Yeah. And what is the benefit to the economy, which both are equally important.
Yeah. Brilliant point. Thank you so much for your time, Adam.
You're welcome.
This has been a great, great conversation. When the Cora Green program popped up on my radar, it was shared to me by a number of people. So I know that people are paying attention to what you're doing. And I think it sounds like it's an incredible achievement. A lot of effort's gone in. And also, it's something that you're going to continue working on over the next 7 or less years. We'll see. Something else that pops up as well. And I think off the back of this, I just feel so enthused. It's just been fantastic to learn about it.
Ben, I'm more than happy to talk to any of your listeners around, you know, maybe some ideas around how they can start their own sustainability journey. You're more than happy to open that dialogue. Everyone wins when we do this kind of thing. So it's not about us trying to just kind of share off in one direction. The more we can talk about it, the more we can learn from each other, then absolutely any listeners, or they can contact me through LinkedIn or through yourself, Chris, then I'm more than happy to share what I can.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate that, Adam. I think there'll be a number of people that want to talk to you off the back of that, and just creating more resources and knowledge points and case studies. I think a lot of the time that'll just help people take that first step or Absolutely. Second step. That's all that we really need to achieve. And I really appreciate your openness and spending time to talk about it. It's been
very
fantastic.
Well. Anytime.
Thank you very much.